Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called What to Remember When Things Don't Go Your Way.
Today we're ending a series we've been in for several weeks on the life of Jonah. We've been looking at your life mission. I've said this every week. You weren't put on this earth simply to live for yourself. No, no, no. You were made for a much greater purpose than you. You weren't put here to just make money, retire, and die. God has a plan and a purpose, and He actually has what's called a life mission for your life. Only you can fulfill your life mission. If you don't fulfill it, you just miss the whole purpose of your life. So what we've been talking about is extremely important. And we've been looking at the manifestation of your life mission. Now, I told you there are three ways you can learn about something, like, for instance, your life mission. You can learn by explanation. You can learn by example. You can learn by experience. You don't have enough time in life to make all the mistakes yourself. It's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Then you don't have to make those mistakes. You can learn from people who are more successful. You can also learn from failures and go, I don't want to do that. In the Bible, there's this little book called the Book of Jonah, only four chapters. Jonah does almost everything wrong in his life mission. And what we're learning from this story are what not to do with your life. It's in there as a warning saying, don't do it this way. It'll save you a lot of heartache, save you a lot of pain, save you a lot of frustration. But you were made for a mission. Now this guy, Jonah, he is a rogue prophet. He is a reluctant prophet. He is a resistant prophet. I told you earlier, he was a bigot. He was racially prejudiced. And when God told him, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh, which was the largest city in the world at that time, the capital of Assyria, and I want you to proclaim a message to them, he goes, I'm not gonna do it. They're my enemy. They're politically different from me. I don't like those guys. I hate them. I don't want you to bless them. I don't want you to use them. I don't want you to forgive them. And so he runs the opposite direction. Instead of going east to east to Nineveh, he heads west to Tarshish, a seaport on the coast of Spain. You know, they have the big storm in the ocean. He's thrown overboard. He's swallowed by this giant fish that the Bible says God had prepared, uniquely prepared. He's there in that fish. That he turns him around, spits him out in the right direction. And we've been following his life, learning what not to do. Now, so far, here's what we've learned. In chapter one, up here on the screen, we saw Jonah rebelling and running from God. He goes, God, I don't want to do your plan. I want to do my plan. I don't want to go with your mission for my life. I want to just kind of do what I want to do. Chapter two, we see Jonah repenting and running back to God. And he prays, goes, okay, I'll do it. Then last week, we looked at chapter three where he's restarting and he's running with God. It goes, okay, I'm going to do it. He has a bad attitude, but he's at least doing what God tells him to do. Now, in this last chapter, we're going to see Jonah regretting and resenting because God changes the plans, and Jonah doesn't like that. What we're going to look at today is, quickly, I want to review the mistakes that he made that we've seen up to this point, point out a couple more mistakes that he made in this chapter, and then look at what to remember when things don't go your way. Because you figured out by now, most of life doesn't go your way. Everything in the world is broken because of sin. Economy's broken, the weather's broken, relationships are broken, your body's broken. Nothing works perfectly on this planet. And your plans don't work perfectly. A lot of times you make your plans and what happens is the exact opposite. Jonah had his plans for what he wanted God to do. God had his plans. And when God did his plans instead of Jonah's, Jonah gets resentful and regretful. Now, we're going to look at what to remember when things don't go your way. But first, I want you to see, so far we've seen five mistakes that Jonah made. You don't want to make these because these make your life miserable. Number one, Jonah thought, they're on your outline, he thought he could ignore his mission. So he runs from God. Now you can run from God the rest of your life, but then what are you going to do? You're going to run into God. You can run from God the rest of your life, then you can't run anymore. And you just wasted your life. Number two, Jonah was prejudiced against people that God created and loved. That's going to always make you miserable. If you're prejudiced, if you're a racist, you're a bigot. Number three, Jonah cared more about his politics than people's salvation. God says, I want to go save that city called Nineveh. And he goes, no, they're the enemy. I don't want you to save them. He cared more about his politics. By the way, anytime you make an allegiance to your nation greater than your allegiance to God, there's a word for that. It's called idolatry. And it breaks the first two of the Ten Commandments where God says, you're not to have anything before me. I'm to be number one in your life. Okay? Then he says, number four, Jonah was only interested in his nation, not the whole world. That's a mistake. And number five, Jonah reluctantly fulfilled his mission, but he does it with a bad attitude. As we saw last week, he eventually goes to Nineveh, and instead of giving a message of love and forgiveness and God wants you to change if you'll turn back to him, he walks in and goes, you guys are gonna die, bye. Not exactly a positive, popular message and not exactly expressing the love of God. Now, in Jonah chapter 4, what we've come to today, we find two more mistakes, and both of them involve resentment. Resentment. Because Jonah doesn't get his way, he gets resentful. Now, let me just say here, resentment is the most worthless emotion in your life. Anytime you get resentful, you're gonna hurt yourself more than you hurt the person you're resentful against. If I asked you to remember somebody who's hurt you, you could probably pretty quickly bring up somebody in your mind who's hurt you and you've had resentment against them. You think by resenting them, you're holding them accountable. But actually, when you're resenting somebody, all you're doing is make yourself miserable. They're not even thinking about you while you're thinking about them all the time. There are people who hurt you a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago in your life. You're still holding on to that hurt. That's dumb. They can't hurt you anymore unless you hold on to the memory of it. That's called resentment. They're not even thinking about you while you're stewing and spewing and going, I hate the fact that they did that to me. And you're going over and over and your mind gets bigger and bigger. They're out there cooking a steak on the barbecue, making homemade ice cream and playing golf. They're not even thinking about you. Who's the miserable one? You. Resentment never helps. It always hurts. You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. Now, these are the next two mistakes that Jonah makes. I don't want you, because I care about you, because I love you, I want your life to be happy, I want your life to be successful. You gotta get this resentment stuff out of your life. No matter what people have done to you, they can't hurt you anymore unless you hold on to it through resentment. Now, while resentment is bad against anybody, the worst kind is when you have resentment against God. And you may have never even thought about this, but you have had times in your life, we all have, where we are resentful against God. God, why did you do that? Why didn't you do this? Why did you let that happen? And you get resentful against God. That causes all kinds of problems. Now, here are the two mistakes that Jonah made. I want you to write these down so you don't make them, okay, in your life. Number one is resenting God's plan when it doesn't fit my plan. That's what Jonah did. Resenting God's plan for my life when it doesn't fit my plan for my life. Have you ever done that? Of course you have. You got mad at God when you had a plan and your plan for graduation, for marriage, for that job, for whatever, didn't happen. Resentment is a deadly poison. It's like drinking arsenic and hoping it kills your opponent. It's like aiming a shotgun at yourself and pulling the trigger so you hit your enemy with a kick of the recoil. It's always gonna hurt you more than it hurts anybody else. But resentment against God is especially bad. Now, why was Jonah resentful? I'll tell you why. Because he wanted his enemies, the city of Nineveh, to be destroyed. God's going, I wanna forgive them. I wanna warn them and hope they'll turn back to me. Jonah's going, I don't want you to forgive them. And so he doesn't want God to let him off the hook. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, the last verse, the last chapter, and first verses of the next chapter, it says this on the screen. When God saw that the people of Nineveh had put a stop to their evil ways, and they really were a pretty wicked city. They were kind of like Nazis of that day. They were very, very brutal. When Nineveh had put a stop to their evil ways, he had mercy on them, and he canceled the destruction he had threatened. Now, this change of plans upset Jonah, and he became furious. So Jonah complained to the Lord about it. Now, I told you last week that when God warns you about something, you know, if you don't change this, it's going to be, there are going to be problems, there are going to be discipline, there'll be punishment. Whenever God warns you, that's a good sign, because a warning means, I don't want to do it. I don't want to discipline you. I don't want to publish. I'm just warning you. When God warns you, if you walk off that cliff, you're going to fall. That's for your good, not for your bad. So a warning actually is God's grace. If God just wanted to punish you, he just punished you. He doesn't warn you, he just does it. And so God says, I want you to go to Nineveh and warn them that if they don't straighten up, things are going to change. Well, that's a symptom that I want to forgive them. And that's what God wanted to do. Well, Jonah doesn't want that. When God warns, Jonah's hoping that he has destruction. So he gets resentful because God decides, I'm going to forgive these guys because they've turned back to me, so I'm going to forgive them. Jonah blows a gasket. He gets upset. He gets resentful against God. Now, how do you know when you're resentful at God? You're gonna find five emotions in your life. Write these down. These are signs that subconsciously you are resenting God right now. Number one is frustration. Frustration in your life is a sign that you're resenting God. The Bible says this change of plans upset Jonah. He got very frustrated. He got very upset. He got ticked off. Now, this revival, when God said, I'm going to forgive him, it's good news for everybody except Jonah. When God says, I'm going to forgive the whole city, everybody's rejoicing except one guy, Jonah. Why? Because he's the guy who doesn't want him. He wants him to be destroyed. So he's frustrated. Second thing is anger. It says Jonah became furious. That word there in the Bible literally means he lost his temper. He's in a rage. He's livid. He is indignant that God did not destroy the people who had hurt him. Why didn't you destroy those people? And so he's not only frustrated, he's angry. Number three, self-pity. When you have self-pity, often behind it will be resentment. It says he complained to the Lord, and he goes, oh, poor me. Nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I'm gonna go eat worms. And he has a pity party, and he invites me, myself, and I. Have you ever done that? Had a pity party for yourself? Oftentimes there's resentment behind that. Frustration, anger, self-pity. Now in the next verse, it says this. Now, Jonah says, I ask you, Lord, please kill me. Huh? Please kill me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Oh, this guy's way off now. Okay, this guy is seriously, are you kidding me? This is extreme resentment. God, just kill me. I'd rather be dead than alive. Now, here are the two other things, depression and suicidal. Depression, it's better for me to die than live. That's severe depression. And suicidal, Lord, just kill me, okay? I don't want to live. My plans didn't work out, so I don't want to live. just, you know, take my life. Now, how rational is this? Okay, this is extreme resentment. Okay, now, it's not rational because think of all the things that God has done for Jonah so far in his life. All the stuff he survived because of miracles. He survives a storm at sea. He survives being thrown overboard by those sailors that we looked at a couple weeks ago. He survives being swallowed by a giant fish. All these things have happened that he's still alive, and he's going, I just want to die. I just want to die. Now, why is that? This is what happened when hate fills your heart. Hate filling your heart will cause these emotions. Resentment filling your heart will cause these emotions. And actually, they actually come in order. Because it starts with frustration, because things aren't going the way you want them to go. Then it goes from frustration to anger. I'm ticked at God because things aren't going the way I want them to do. Then it goes from there to self-pity, and I start feeling, poor me, poor me. Then it moves from there to depression, and then it could move to, I may as well just die. It progresses. That's what happens when you hold hate in your heart. I am begging you, as your pastor, I am begging you, whoever you're holding hatred against, whoever you're holding hurt against, whoever you're holding resentment against, let it go. Let it go. Because if you hold it in your heart, hatred in your heart produces, and resentment in your heart produces frustration and anger and self-pity and depression. And I remember many, 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 many years ago, when Kay and I first got married, the first year, about 6 months into our marriage, we were not getting along in our marriage, and we were fighting like crazy, and we were like brand new newlyweds. Kay thought she was having a nervous breakdown. I ended up in the hospital. I literally was in the hospital, and I remember a psychiatrist came in. This is like 45 years ago. Psychiatrist comes into me, and he goes, so what's your problem? I said, well, I'm depressed. I'm depressed. He goes, so really, what are you angry about? I said, oh, no, I'm not angry. I'm just depressed. He goes, depression is sometimes frozen anger. When you swallow your emotions, your stomach keeps score. And I was so angry at Kay, and I was swallowing it. I wasn't expressing it. I was repressing it, and it was causing depression in me. When you hold anger, when you hold hatred, when you hold hurt, when you hold resentment in your heart, you're not hurting the other person. You're just hurting yourself. You gotta let it go. That's a mistake that Jonah made. I just want to die. It always hurts you more. Now, here's the second mistake that Jonah made. First is resenting God's plan when it doesn't fit my plan. I resent God because his plan doesn't fit my plan. The second resentment is resenting God's mercy and goodness to other people. When God is good to people I don't want him to be good to, then I get upset. When God is merciful and forgiving to people I don't want him to forgive, then I get upset. And that's what happened to this guy, Jonah. Jonah hates that God is forgiving people he doesn't like. That not only is political enemy, as I told you, he's racially prejudiced against these people. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, it says this. Then Jonah complained. Now, who's he complaining to? To God. He says, didn't I say, he's talking to God, didn't I say before I left home that I knew you would do this, Lord? In other words, forgive these people. That's why I ran away to Tarshish. You know, he said, this is why I ran away from my life mission. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. I know you're slow to get angry. I know that you're filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you could cancel your plans for punishing these people. Now, notice. Jonah says, I ran from God, and I ran from my life mission. I ran from what God had told me to do because I knew what a good God he is. He said, notice the four things that God knows about God. He says, I knew you're gracious and compassionate. He says, I knew you're patient. In other words, you're slow to get angry. God doesn't get ticked fast. He's patient. He's slow to get angry. He says, I knew your love is unlimited. It's everlasting. It's eternal. And he goes, I knew that you would rather forgive people than punish them. And all this knowledge, what does it do to Jonah? It depresses him. Really? Really? All these good things about God and Jonah gets depressed? Why? Here's why. Because Jonah had a problem that you and I have too. We want forgiveness for ourselves and we want justice for everybody else. Okay? We want to be forgiven. We want God to show us grace. We want God to show us mercy. But that guy who hurt me, no, God, you get him. He deserves justice. Do I deserve justice? No, I deserve grace. I deserve mercy. Jonah wants God to forgive him, but he doesn't want God to forgive anybody who's hurt him. And he's resentful. And he's resenting that God is actually showing mercy to somebody who hurt him. He's resentful that God is showing mercy and forgiveness to somebody he doesn't like, his enemies. And he wants forgiveness for himself. He wants justice for everybody else. So let's just get real today. Let's don't talk about this guy thousands of years ago. Let's talk about you. Who do you want God to not forgive? Who do you want God to not forgive? Please don't forgive them, God. They hurt me too much. Who has hurt you so much that you don't want God to show them mercy? This is the Jonah trap. And it happens as much today as it did to this guy a long time ago. Who is it that hurt you so much you don't want God to show mercy? Who are you unwilling to forgive that God's already forgiven? God's already forgiven him, but you won't because you think you're better than God. You are only hurting yourself. You're not hurting them. Holding on to that resentment, holding on to that hatred, holding on to that hurt is not hurting them. All it's doing is making you miserable. Who are you unwilling to forgive that God has forgiven? I remember a guy came to John Wesley one day and he said, they were talking about a guy, and the guy said, oh, I could never forgive that guy. I could never, never forgive that man. John Wesley said, well, then I hope you never sin. Why? Because when you don't want to burn the bridge that you have to walk across to get to heaven.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today. But first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. This book connects you to the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, it's always encouraging to hear how Daily Hope helps listeners like you, how it helps you mature in your faith. Let me read you a letter I got just recently from Sherry. She said, Pastor Rick, this ministry has literally saved my life. After a series of disappointments, I had lost all hope, and I saw no reason to go on. And that changed when I discovered Daily Hope. Now I hold on,
praying expectantly. You know, that's the little acrostic we use for hope, H-O-P-E. She said, my circumstances have not changed, but my outlook has. And now rather than being depressed about where I am in life, I've learned to be thankful for this time of spiritual growth. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me, but I know it's good, and I look forward to a future walking side by side with Him and using this experience to help others through their own struggles. Gratefully, Sherry. Sherry, I can't tell you how much this letter means to me. You know, God will never let you down. He's with you every step of the way, and thank you so much for writing to me and let me know how God is working in your life. I'm praying for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. By the way, thanks everybody for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.